Okay, we're down to about 50 minutes of fuel left. We got to do something quick.
November 7108 Quebec, Wichita Falls is saying that they are 1,200 overcast. So that is accurate?
I've got only a 172 here. Unless you want to try this one more time, and I'll just make her in.
November 7108 Quebec, Wichita Falls is about 90 miles south of you right now. If you only have 50 minutes of fuel, I'm afraid if we do another approach at Clinton Regional and you don't make it in, you're not going to have very many options there.
That was Fort Worth Center Controller Carrie Phillips and the pilot of a Cessna 172 on the evening of April 23rd, 2021. Hello, I'm Mary Hall, air traffic controller from Houston Hobby and vice chair of the NACA Communications Committee, and you are listening to the NACA Podcast. In this episode, we introduce the NACA Southwest Region recipients of the 2022 Archie League Medal Safety Award. Carrie was working in a low-altitude sector when the pilot of November 710 Quebec had just executed his second missed approach at Clinton Regional Airport due to low ceilings. Carrie had already been checking the weather at alternate airports. Megan Baird, another air traffic controller at CFW, could tell that something was amiss, so she plugged in with Carrie and helped with coordinating and finding other options. Faced with heavy to extreme precipitation in the area, and now the aircraft reaching minimum fuel, Carrie told the pilot that making a third approach at Clinton is not advisable. The story continues and concludes with a happy ending. Carrie and Megan find an airport that was slightly above minimums, and the pilot made a safe landing at Lawton Airport. Hear now from Carrie and Megan themselves as we discuss their careers and the event that has made them Archie winners.
Carrie, I introduced you as Carrie Phillips. However, I think we have a change to Fingerson.
We do. I actually went to the Social Security office yesterday. So right now I'm kind of in this weird identity crisis where neither name is correct. I don't know. When the event happened, I was Carrie Phillips. So whichever one you want to use is okay with me.
Well, so you just got married, and I believe it was at Oshkosh.
We did get married at Oshkosh. We met there in 2017, and I was volunteering with NACA, and Kelly Richardson, who's the, outreach director, I don't know what his official title is, but Kelly had done a cookout, and they had invited a bunch of the service members over for burgers as a thank you for your service kind of thing, and Jake had flown in a T-38 for the air show, and so the group of pilots stopped by, and we were at the picnic table right outside the NACA booth. And after a couple of minutes of talking, Jake said, "Enough about me. Do you want to go see my airplane?" So we took off to go see his airplane, and the rest is kind of history. So it was a really important space for us. And it was neat to be able to bring all of our friends and family back to where it all started, including our NACA family. I've made some really great friends, some lifelong friends volunteering there. And it was both like from a personal meeting my now husband, but also from a professional standpoint, just an amazing experience to be able to volunteer there.
Oh, that is so neat that you did that. Jake, your husband, is he from Boston? Because you just transferred there. Is that why you transferred to Boston?
No, Jake is from Louisville. He flies for UPS and he's based in Louisville, Kentucky. But my family is here in New Hampshire. And I started my career here at Boston Center in 2012. And so now almost 10 years later, we bring it back full circle, accepted a permanent position in the traffic management unit here at Boston Center. And we came back in April.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you said earlier that you just moved into a house. Congratulations.
Lots of exciting stuff going on here. We just closed on a house on Friday. So moving and marriage and all in the same month, it's been really exciting.
That's a lot. That's amazing. And Megan, I believe you said you're on maternity leave right now. Congratulations to you for that.
Thank you.
When was your baby born?
He was born 4/23/22, so exactly 1 year after this incident.
That's such a coincidence. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, are you returning back to work soon, or are you taking some more time off?
I go back in September 30th.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is this your first?
Our first biological child. So we actually have three, my husband's cousins that are living with us that we became permanent legal guardians of. They're 17, 10, and 9. So we went from 0 to 4 kids in a year and a half.
I didn't know that you guys got everything official legally. That's wonderful. I'm really happy for you guys. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we got it July 30th is when everything got signed off. So crazy.
So I guess we'll go into a little bit of history. Carrie, you said that you started at Boston Center and then transferred to Fort Worth Center. How long were you there for?
I transferred to Fort Worth Center in 2016. So I was there almost 6 years before I came back to Boston.
Okay. That's awesome. And you plan on staying in Boston Center?
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Megan? When did you get into the agency?
I'm in the agency in 2016. I actually, funny story, took Carrie's spot as an RPO back in Boston Center, which is kind of how we knew each other before all this happened. But I went to the academy and got my list and didn't know any of the places on my list except for that I knew Carrie was at Fort Worth. So I called her and was like, what's Fort Worth like? And she's like, it's a great place. You should come down. So I did. And kind of came full circle. I'd taken her spot as an RPO when she got picked up by the agency in Boston. So it was kind of cool.
That is actually really cool. That's such a small world. What made you both want to get into air traffic control?
Megan, you want to go first?
I actually started college as a pilot. I had kind of wanted to pursue that side of things, but then also wanted a family, and it was right in around 2008 when the recession hit and they were laying pilots off like crazy. So I jumped ship in college to air traffic control and stuck with it.
My story is pretty similar. Went to Embry-Riddle and started out wanting to be an astronaut, and to fly the space shuttle, you have to be a military pilot. So I started my private pilot's license I got from Embry-Riddle in 2006, and I minored in air traffic management. And once I got into the air traffic courses, I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. I kind of want to explore this and check this out. And ended up being a really great switch. I'm not sure I was cut out for the airline pilot life, you know, packing a suitcase and being on the road all of the time. I love to travel, but I like to say when and where and kind of on my terms. So this affords me the opportunity to do both. I still get to work in aviation, which I love, and be home all of the time.
That's very interesting, especially a space shuttle. I would never have guessed. That's awesome. Okay, I guess we'll go into talking about that day. Carrie, how about you start and tell us what happened, what you can remember from April 23rd?
Well, it was over a year ago now, so I watched the Falcon to kind of refresh my memory a little bit. When I came in and took over the position, the aircraft had already been cleared for his first approach. He was already over on the advisory frequency, and I was briefed, you know, that we were just waiting for a cancellation. That isn't the way that it ended up going. He went missed approach and asked him for his intentions, what he wanted to do, and he wanted to get set up for another approach. He flew the published missed and everything went very smoothly. Changed him back over to the advisory frequency. I was like, maybe I should start looking for a backup option just in case. And so I had called over to Clinton Sherman, which is just a little ways to the west, and they have a contract tower there. And I had said, you know, I know the weather reporting is showing pretty bad, but since you had somebody on site, a lot of the airports in that area are uncontrolled fields. But this has an actual person in the control tower. I was like, maybe you can give me a better idea of what it looks like out the window there. And Clinton Sherman was like, no, you know, we're completely socked in as well. Sorry. And I had called, I think, up to Kansas and over to the east at Oklahoma City and down to the south at Wichita Falls are kind of our other options. And it was just one of those nights that was horrible. The weather was foggy and low ceilings and just awful everywhere. When the aircraft went missed for the second time, I knew I had that like spidey sense, that tingling feeling, you know, that something just wasn't right. His first missed approach was textbook. He flew the published miss, no problem. And this time when he came off right below the minimum IFR altitude, he was like 90 degrees off course. And I was like, ooh, something's not right. And right away he said, you know, I'm leaving 2,800. Do you have any other recommendations? And so I knew at that point that he knew he was in trouble, even though he really hadn't admitted it verbally yet.
Megan, whenever you jumped in, you can time him.
I don't even remember really when I jumped in. I I think I just got reports, and I think at the very end, I was the one that coordinated with Fort Sill, and I think I coordinated with Gage Lowe at one point, but for the most part, Carrie had it all. Like, I did very little to help, I feel like.
One of the things that was so awesome about Megan being there was I had talked with the CIC at the time. They were aware of the situation, but they didn't assign her to be the D-side when she was grabbing her headset, had kind of overheard what I was saying and picked up on a few key words that keyed her into the fact that I needed some help. And she just grabbed her headset, like no questions asked, and jumped in on the D side, which was really awesome.
So you were just coming back from break, Megan, and you hopped in?
Yeah, I think I either was coming back from break or I had low passed, one of the two. And if I low pass, I generally kind of try and ask, like, hey, does anybody need any help? And the sector that she was on is right next to our initials, like our break list. And so I think I overheard something and was just like, hey, I'm going to sit down here and help you for a second, just in case. Because I don't think I think I had low pass and I don't think I really had anything else going on.
So for those who are not at centers, what does low pass mean?
Oh, it just means I run the list. Like, I had asked everybody that was on position if they wanted a break, and nobody wanted a break. So in that case, we go back on break until we come back for the next round.
So you heard that Carrie might have needed some help, and you went over there and started plugging in?
Yeah, I plugged in and asked her what she needed, and mainly it was, like, weather reports. We need to find this guy, an airport that is semi-close to Clinton Regional, and we need to find it with some better weather or better options for approaches. And I think right when that Embraer was going into Lawton is kind of when I sat down. I think maybe I vaguely remember getting the report from Fort Sill. Carrie had jumped on the line, but we were both on the line because Carrie wanted to hear that report. But I vaguely remember being on position for that.
So when Embraer went into Lawton, and that's when you were like, let me get the pyrep.
When he went for the second missed approach, like when he came off and called me on the second missed, I had already started calling. I knew weather to the west at Clinton Sherman was worse, so that wasn't an option. Things were not good to the north. And then Oklahoma City was reporting broken ceilings maybe at 3,000 feet. The problem was between Clinton Regional, where he was trying to go into, and Will Rogers at Oklahoma City, there was heavy to extreme precipitation between the two airports. And so although the weather was better at Oklahoma City, I had no way to get him to Oklahoma City without going through some of that extreme precipitation, which also wasn't a great option. Wichita Falls also has a tower there. They have military controllers staffing that tower. And they had confirmed that the ceilings there were about 1,200 feet, which was a lot better than what we were working with. So I knew the weather improved to the south. We kind of started pointing him in that direction. And once we knew we were headed south and kind of committed to that decision, Fort Sill told me that weather at Duncan, just to the southeast, was reporting better, but they didn't have any reports or any way to confirm that. And I just kept passing the information to the pilot and telling him, you know, here are all of the options. He had asked about an airport. And when he said it, I think he had pronounced it kind of funny. It has a Native American name, and I'm not even sure that I know how to pronounce the airport correctly. And I was like, where do you want to go? And then when he gave me the identifier for it, there was no adapted weather, unfortunately, for that airport. And the minimum IFR altitude was like 4,500. So I couldn't get him any lower. He had no shot of getting it visually. So we kept on pushing to the south. Fort Sill had an Envoy aircraft that was going in. And when I was talking to them about the weather at Duncan, I said, when he breaks out, can you get a pyrep so that we have some more information? And it ended up that he broke out of the clouds around 2,000 feet, that Envoy aircraft did. And then when we had a confirmed report that the ceilings were at 2,000, the pilot was like, okay, that's what we're doing. We're heading in there. And Fort Sill said they ended up having to do a surveillance approach to get him down. So we got very lucky that Fort Sill has that capability and that equipment, and that they were able to do that because he was pretty tight on fuel. When I had asked him how much fuel he had left, he said 50 minutes. And this is not funny, but now looking back on it, I laugh because he's like, oh, we're doing much better. I have a whole hour. But 60 minutes of fuel was still not great considering he was like 45 minutes away from the airport. So I think he only landed with maybe, you know, 10 or 12 minutes of fuel remaining.
When he said he had about 45 minutes to an hour, is that when you declared the emergency, or was the emergency because he couldn't get into an airport?
So I knew he was concerned about fuel. He had told me earlier that he was short on fuel. He was just in a 172, so he's not moving very fast. The range for him for 45 minutes to an hour of fuel didn't give us a lot of options. And initially the pilot had wanted to try a third approach. And I think he said, we'll just put it in there. And that's, you know, as a controller, maybe the worst thing that you can hear is we're just going to force it in an emergency landing. And I was like, no, please don't do that. Let me try to help. Let me try to find something that is a better choice for you. So I knew fuel was tight. Fort Sill has a restricted airspace between Clinton Regional, where he was, and the Fort Sill area. And since we were so tight on time, I did not want to have to vector him around the restricted area. And so the emergency declaration was mostly so that we could get that restricted area capped and use that airspace to fly him through, as well as, you know, him being at a critical fuel level, kind of both dual reason, dual purpose.
Wow, that's something. I mean, I'm very happy that you're able to get him there in time. Is there any training that prepared you to handle this event?
I was really fortunate back, I think it was in 2019 at Oshkosh again. Speaking of it coming full circle, Women in Aviation International hosts a Women Connect breakfast every Wednesday during Air Venture Week. And in 2019, the guest speaker was Tammy Jo Schultz. And I don't want to steal her thunder because I believe she's speaking at CFS this year. And I want everybody to go listen because she's an amazing speaker and really inspirational. But she had said something during that speech that always kind of stuck with me that I want to share with you guys. She said, habits become instinct under pressure. And I thought that was really perfect because, you know, we do recurrent training, we do years of training before we ever even become controllers. And I was really fortunate to have some incredible trainers at Boston Center, Tyler and Zach and Dan and Brian, and they really made sure I knew my stuff and drilled in those habits into me, making me practice things, even if the situation wasn't there on the scope, you know, talking through different scenarios and making sure that you're using good phraseology and that you're doing everything by the book. And all of that really did pay off. Those habits that you develop during training, they do become instinct when stuff hits the fan and when it really matters, when you need that information at the drop of a hat, when minutes matter and there's not a lot of fuel and you have an emergency situation, think relying on your training and being able to go back to those habits that are now instincts for you really makes a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Either one of you, did you talk to the pilot afterwards? Have you had any communication with anyone else?
I did call to Fort Sill after we lost radar on him. I gave it a couple of seconds, but I was pretty anxious to find out what happened. And you can just hear the relief in my voice when he says that he landed safely and was fine. But that was the last that I heard. I never heard anything else from the pilot after that. And so he did thank us on the frequency for everything. And I'm just glad we were able to get him somewhere where he could get in safe.
Well, it's great that you both jumped in, like you said, with your instincts and got him down safely. Congratulations to both of you for winning the Archies for 2022.
Thanks, okay. Mary.
Yes, thank you.
You've been listening to the NACRA podcast. Thank you for listening. This is Mary Hall signing off.